came a sound from heaven. It was like a rushing wind. It filled the hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise. He said, the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being a river with no end. Flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There came a thirsty woman. She was drawing from a well. You see, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. But then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. If you'll just drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There is a river that never shall run.
All right, well, I'm going to have Brother Dave come up here, and he's going to share what's on his heart in preparation for his trip, and he truly does have the gift of evangelism, and I always say a first century evangelist. It's the style that he has is like, it's how evangelists ought to be, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for Brother Dave, so come on up, Brother Dave, and preach to us. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. And that song pretty much sums it up. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's about getting the people that are thirsty what they need. They're thirsting after a number of different things that will not quench their thirst tonight. But what they need is the waters of life, that water from Jesus that can give them that water that will cause them to never thirst again. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight, and excited about what God's going to do in India. I really do feel like the Lord's going to do a great work. Thankful for this church, and I was just thinking today as I was driving home and doing some of the things I had to do, I was thinking about how awesome it is that we serve a God that orchestrates things the way that He does. You know, you couldn't put these things together any better if you wanted to. I really do believe that. I believe that, you know, He is so just incredible at knowing what to say in a Sunday school lesson, what to say in a Sunday morning lesson, and tie it all in with the Sunday night lesson. Amen. And it is just the Lord. It's the Lord working things out and orchestrating things and working behind the scenes to just get us to see what it is God wants us to see. This morning, Pastor asked during that message, he said, what is your vision for this church? You know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when Pastor said, hey, I'm going to let you preach the night before you go, God had already laid the message on my heart that I would preach tonight, just because I believe immediately, without any confusion whatsoever, that this is the direction God would have me to go. I haven't changed it once. Normally, you can ask my wife, I can't keep what I'm going to preach longer than 30 seconds. I'm changing it 15, 20 times, but this one has been settled. And as I was sitting through the Sunday school lesson and as I was sitting through the preaching this morning, I knew why God had settled it, you know, so it was just clear to me. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 29 tonight. I want to tell you about what we're doing in India real quick, so, you know, just so you know what's going on there. We're sharing the gospel. We're encouraging a nation where they have 1% Christianity, you know, that where nobody wants to go. We're not going to the places that everybody else goes, but we're going to the places and the people that nobody else goes. Like Pastor was saying, we're going to be spending some time with some lepers. We're going to be going to some of these jungle villages. We're going to be going to some of these pastors that have never seen a white person come out there, never had anybody come, no college come by and sing to them, nobody to encourage them. We're going to help them plant some churches, and we are planting churches. So that is first century evangelism, missionary work, whatever you want to call it. And I'm with Pastor. I'm interested in being a first century Christian all the way 100%. I'm not interested in going forward in that sense. I'm interested in going backwards. Amen. I want to do what the Bible says. I want to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I want to belong to a soul-winning church, and that's why I love this church, and I believe God has led us here. So, be in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. You pray for us. I know there's been a Paul and Barnabas. There's been a Paul and Silas, I believe. I believe there's been a Barnabas and John Mark. I don't think that I know of a Dave and Dave that have ever gone out. So you just pray for us as we go out. I think it's a pretty good combination. Just ask the Lord to help us, have His hand on us. And I believe God's already doing a work in David's heart. There's not a question. That work began, you know, 6-7 months ago. And God's just going to continue to do the work. I believe that with all my heart. So I'm praying God will just use us. And you know, I just want to be a vessel. We're a couple of nobodies that found one buddy that can turn anybody into a new buddy. And so you just pray God will help us to tell other people about it. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 29, just one verse tonight. Pastor mentioned this morning, what is your vision for this church? You know, I think a lot about perception. And I guess it's because we have such a habit of not seeing things the way that God sees things. We got a habit of looking at things through our own perspective, man's perspective, this world's perspective, education's perspective, so many different perspectives, but failing as God's children to look at it from God's perspective. And that can change so much. I mean, that can really be the difference maker between what we do for God and what we don't do to God, because with God, how you see it is going to depend on what He does with it. Amen. I really truly believe that tonight. I thought about, you know, man's vision versus God's vision in a number of different things. I thought about going to India, and I was thinking David would be here tonight, but you know, certainly there's a bunch of men out there, and I've had the questions asked, well, how are you going to go without a missions board? Well, that's not in the Bible. I'm going to go because the Bible tells me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Didn't say go ye that have been to Bible college, or go ye that have graduated from some certain missions board, or that have raised up enough support. It just said go, and so I'm just going to believe what the Bible says, and I'm going to use God's vision over man's vision. I'm going to go into all the world and do what God told me to do. I'm going to go to the sheets. I'm going to go in different places, and that's what we should all do. But there's many that would say, hey, you can't do that. Well, why not? God told me to go. Amen. We can do whatever it is God tells us to do if we'll look at it through God's eyes and not man's eyes. I truly believe that. So in Proverbs chapter 29, 18, I just want to help us if I can, if the Lord will help me tonight, to get God's vision concerning several areas of our life, that it is important that we get God's vision. It's truly a matter of life and death for your life, the life of this church, the lives in Tarboro, the lives in all around us, North Carolina, United States, the whole world. If we don't see things the way God sees things in these areas, people will perish. You're familiar with the verse, I'm sure, Proverbs 29:18. Let's read it together. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would help me. Lord, I pray that I would be completely out of the picture. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. It is a privilege to be here. God, I thank you for working in our lives the way that you do. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Father, I pray, God, that every word that's said tonight would bring you honor and glory. I pray, God, that you would just anoint the time. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would take over. And God, I pray that you would just have your will and way in everything that's said and done. I beg you tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. So as we consider that thought with visions, I want to give you some areas where I think that if we don't get God's vision concerning these areas of our life, then exactly what that verse says, people will perish. I don't want to watch people die and go to hell. We all have loved ones that are lost. We see people that are lost every day. We rub shoulders with the lost people. We have friends that are lost. We have coworkers that are lost. I don't want to see those people one day when we're up there in heaven at that great white throne judgment, and I'm on this side, and the Bible says that there'll be tears in that day, and they're all on that side. I don't want to see those people die and go to hell one day. But if we don't get God's vision in these areas, the opportunity that we had and the chances that we had to affect them, we're going to miss those opportunities because we were looking at things the wrong way. We weren't having God's vision concerning these areas. And one of the first areas I thought about as God gave me this message was dealing with our priorities. We have a hard time getting God's vision concerning our priorities. It's human nature. We often fight our flesh with just our priorities, with the way we put things in order. We know that God is supposed to be preeminent in all things. We know that he is supposed to be the most important thing, that he's supposed to matter the most. But I thought about some different areas where God's priorities would be much different than our priorities, where the way God would see things would not be the way that we would see things. And I thought about, number one, our priorities concerning the church. Many times, our vision is for this church. And there's not something, I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but I think that if we would get our vision off of just this church and get our vision on his church, then I believe God will begin to bless this church more. You see, and I think when we look at things from God's point of view, God's looking at a much bigger picture and working on a much bigger scale than we're working on. And I think sometimes we get so narrow-minded concerning certain things, and it's just a habit, and we just need to stop and say, okay, God, you're right. I'm not looking at the big picture in this thing. I'm not looking at the church the way that you should look at it. We get caught up on the building of the church, and I'm talking about with bricks and mortar versus lively stones, that God said, I want you to build the church with people, right? We need to build the church with people. We don't see it the way God sees it. We get focused on the wrong things, and God says, I want you to turn your focus off of this building of the church, and I want you to get your focus out on that building of the church. We have soul winning every Saturday morning. I believe truly. How many of you are over the age of 70? You don't have to tell me your age. I'm just asking, you're over the age of 70. Raise your hand. All right. So I'm going to exclude those that are over the age of 70. I want you to come soul winning. You can come soul winning. But my only thought was this, was that Noah built an ark after the age of 70. So you got an ark left in you. Amen. You know, I'm saying that none of us are too old to go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. None of us are too old to go to a door and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you about what God did in my life. None of us are too old to not be concentrated on the building of this church. That is one of the things that we don't see the way God sees it. I thought about how in America, really, we've changed all of our church service to 1 to 2 to 3 hours a week, when that should be just the time we come to worship God, but the church service should be the rest of the week while we're out there. We should be serving God out there. And I think it's so important we see it the way God sees it. I thought about our priorities concerning the church, and then I thought about our priorities concerning the commandments. We need to see the commandments the way God sees the commandments. As Baptists, we got a real bad habit of getting focused on commandment number 612 or commandment number 302 or commandment number 548 or whatever commandment you want instead of commandment number one and commandment number two. We need to focus on it. God said, these are the two commandments I want you to focus on. If you're one of my people, Jesus says, the first and greatest commandment is that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. All the preaching of all the Bible from all of God Almighty, from Genesis to Revelation, hangs on those two commandments. And every one of us in this room can love God, and we can love people. We can love them the way that God told us to be. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. If you can keep all the rest of the commandments, you break that one, you're the greatest sinner of all, because that is the first and greatest commandment. You break the second one, you're the second greatest sinner, because that is the second greatest commandment. And Jesus made that very clear. You can dress right, act right, look right, talk right. Don't love people, don't love God, you ain't right. God has made that very clear. We need to make sure that we see the commandments the way God sees them and have our priorities the way God would have them to be concerning the commandments. God wants us to love people. God commands us to love people. It's not an option to love people. All right, we just need to remind ourselves, hey, whether you feel like it or not, do it. It's not an option. It's not a choice. You're supposed to do it. It's what God would have us to do. And then I thought about getting our priorities the way God would have them concerning our cares, and that goes right along with what we're saying. What is it that we care about tonight? When I ask you, what is it that you're concerned with? Who is it that you care about the most? When you close your eye, what do you envision? Do you see your family? Do you see your loved ones? Do you see your friends? Let me help us out tonight. What we should see is Jesus, number one, and the people around us, number two. We should have that same vision, that Good Samaritan vision, if we're going to have God's vision concerning our priorities. Our cares are important tonight, what we care about. We need to care about the thing God cares about. We need to have those in our priorities. And so I thought about, number one, we need to have God's vision concerning our priorities. Number two, if we don't want people to perish, we need to have God's vision concerning our provision. And where I'm going here is with what you have and what you're able to give. There is a vision. If there's no vision, the people perish. But if you've got some vision with what it is that God has given you, let me tell you, people will not perish. God has given every single one of us whatever we have. And God has given that to us for a reason, because we're His children. God's saying, hey, Lisa, I've given you this, and I want you to take this, and I want you to use whatever this is, so that you can glorify me and so that people can come to know me as their Lord and Savior. And I want you to use it for me. Amen. Right, we get so narrow-minded and we lose focus and we get focused on the wrong things when it comes to our giving. God has given us everything that we had. I thought, number one, giving isn't an option. In Luke 6:38, the Bible says, Jesus said, give, talking to his disciples. Not give if you feel like it. It's not an option. Not give if you got it. It's not an option. Give and it shall be given. He told us it's not an option whether or not you want to give. We need to have God's vision concerning, number one, that it's not optional. And He doesn't see it as yours. Whatever we have, God has given us. If I can breathe, it's because God let me. If I can work, it's because God allows me. Whatever I have, it's not mine. It all belongs to Him. And God lets us know, look, if you'll get my vision concerning your giving, then what you'll see is you'll see me be able to give you an outcome that you never saw coming. I pastor made a point to talk about how, except for that kernel of corn fall on the ground, it's not going to bring forth and die. It's not going to bring forth the other things. What we need to start doing is dying to self a little bit more and invest in what we got. We say, well, God, I can't let go of it. And God says, you have to let go of it. God, this is all I got. And if you won't give it to me, that's going to be all you ever have. If you won't use what I've given you for what I've told you to use it for, then I'm never going to give you any more to do anything with it in the first place. One of the best lessons I ever learned is I can't outgive God. No matter how much I give, He gives back so much more. And you can ask my wife, I try. I believe that it's so important that we see that we invest what we got in the future, because if we don't, then what we're going to see is a bunch of people perishing. You know, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, right? Not the cold-heartedness, not the it's not my problem, not the I ain't got it, but the goodness. When you give, God will end up giving to you back more than you could ever possibly get. So God's giving, God's vision concerning our provision. And then I thought about God's vision concerning the precepts. We may not see the importance of the precepts concerning people perishing or God's word, But I'm telling you, it is important that we see God's vision concerning the Word of God tonight. The precepts allow us to see so much. They allow us to look back to the past, and we see a man named Noah, you know, who took God's Word so serious, that, and it ended up saving the human race. That's why we're all here right now, right? But we can also see the rest of the world who didn't take it serious, and what happened? The people perished. Right. The entire world that was perished away. We learned that in 1 Peter, I believe. But we know that when you don't take God's Word seriously, and you don't get God's vision for the Scriptures, then people will perish. Not only does it show us the past, but it gives us a vision into prophecy or the future. I just told you about that great white throne judgment and how we're all going to be there one day. And I believe personally the better part of 7 billion people, if we don't get busy, because I believe we're living in that last day, we are in that final hour. If we don't start telling people now, the better part of 7 billion people, there are going to be tears that day. There are going to be so many tears that day. And then God shall wipe away all the tears. There are going to be people dying and going to hell. It gives us a vision of prophecy or into the future. And then precepts give us a vision concerning the present. God has given us His Word for a reason. The Word is our vision. It's how we see what we need to do, where we need to go. We walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what we see, but by what it says. The Word is a lamp unto my feet. When I walk, it lights my path. It keeps people from perishing. When I walk according to God's steps, that saves people. That leads them in the right direction. You know, I think, I don't know where I heard it, but 99 out of 100 people never read a Bible. They read the Christian, right? And so they see your lives, our lights, are written epistles the Bible talks about. They're looking at us. You know, the way you live your life can determine whether or not somebody dies and goes to heaven or dies and goes to hell, one or the other, and simply by who they're following. And I'm telling you, every one of us has people following us, people looking at us. They're waiting to see how we're going to respond in the suffering. We've been doing those Sunday school lessons dealing about that refuge in our suffering, that response in the suffering. They want to know how you can respond. And if you don't respond the right way, well, your God, I don't need your God. I don't need what you got. And the idea is that we need to use the Word of God. We need to have the same vision God did. And God said, my Word I have exalted above everything else. That Word is important to us. So I thought about, we need to have God's vision concerning the precepts. Then we need to have God's vision concerning prayer. And I know, Pastor Mike, that this church is focused on prayer, and I praise God for that. I truly believe that there is a great spirit of prayer going on in this church. Blesses my heart. I've enjoyed it. And not to beat a dead horse, but there are some horses that were just that bad and need to be beat as much as possible. We still need to pray. Amen. We have not prayed enough. We need to make sure that we have God's vision concerning prayer, and the lack of prayer in the 21st century church, period, is flat out pitiful. It's just not nearly enough. I am looking forward to that all-day prayer meeting. I really am. I am looking forward to praying that whole day. And if God wills, Lord, we'll block out the rest of the calendar for the week. I want to get a hold of God. I believe we're close. I'm not playing when I think by the time this service is over, I believe Jesus could come back. And I want to get a hold of God. I want to have a harvest here in Tarboro. I want to have a harvest in India. I want to see souls get saved. And Jesus said, when you pray and when you fast. But I think a lot of times we've mistaken it for if you pray and if you fast. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to fast. Prayer preserves lives. When we pray for people, it saves people. God will answer your prayers. When you get up and you pray, Lord, lead me to some individual today that needs you. Lead me, help me to say, help me to share the gospel with them. Lord, help me to be able to talk to them. I believe truthfully, if you believe God will answer that prayer, God will answer that prayer and send you that individual that was just dying to get saved. That just was, he had been thinking about it, they were in that place. But if we're honest, a lot of times we don't pray for those things. We pray for the list that we've got and a number of different things, but we're not praying for God to lead us to that person that really needs to be saved. It's important that we pray for those things. It preserves life. This was why Jesus said, pray ye therefore. Right? It was so people would not perish. He said, because the fields are white already unto harvest, because people are going to die and go to hell. That's why we're supposed to pray. We need to pray people will go to Tarboro and preach the gospel right here in this church. That we'll all meet here Saturday morning, as many of us are able to be here, and we'll go out and witness and tell people about Jesus and give out gospel tracts and do our part to save Tarboro. People will go to Greenville. People will go to Raleigh. People will go to India, Africa, China, all over this world so that people don't perish. You know, all the great men and great women of God that were ever used mightily of God, they had a vision concerning prayer, and I believe it was God's vision concerning prayer. Pastor, many times we'll talk about John Wesley, and I heard a story about a man walking up to him one day and saying, John Wesley, I heard that you pray 2 hours a day. And John Wesley humbly said, yes, that's true. And that man said, well, I don't have time. I'm too busy to pray 2 hours a day. And John Wesley humbly looked at him and said, I'm too busy not to pray 2 hours a day. John Wesley knew that when you pray, people don't perish. But if you don't pray, people will perish. Spurgeon says prayer pulls the rope that sounds the bell in the ears of God. He said, some scarcely stir the bell, others give an occasional pluck at the rope, but he who wins with heaven is a man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Amen. When you pray, people don't perish. Praying Hyde, the great missionary, said the renewal of the church. How many of y'all want a renewal of the church? He said the renewal of the church will depend upon the renewal of our prayer life. I believe that. Pastor challenged me a while back ago to read about the Moravian revivals. That was great. I'm glad I read about it because all it did was challenge me to pray. Charles Finney said every revival is born out of prayer. Wesley, Spurgeon, Hyde, Mueller, Rice, Moody, they all knew that if we don't get God's vision concerning prayer, people will perish. And it does take focus, don't it? The devil is constantly attacking our prayer life. He attacks it before, he attacks it during, and he attacks it after. And that's because he knows the kind of power that your prayer has. He knows that people won't perish if we start praying like we're supposed to. He attacks it before you ever pray by trying to keep you too busy to pray. Then while you're praying, he tries to distract you while you're praying. And when you're done praying, he starts throwing darts of doubt saying, hey, whatever you just prayed for, God ain't going to do that for you. But we need to have God's vision concerning prayer. It's so important. I thought about not only God's vision concerning our priorities and our precepts and God's vision concerning our provision and prayer, but I thought about God's vision concerning the people. Where there's no vision, the people. Church, the people. They're people. People you love. People you see. And we need to see them the way God sees them. You know, as Christians, we have a bad habit of seeing them as sinners. God saw them as souls. We look at them and say, hey, we don't want nothing to do with that crowd. And Jesus saw them and had compassion on that crowd. He went to where they were at. He didn't run away from the lepers, but we will. Right? He did not want anything. He went straight to them wherever they were at. Many times we criticize them. Right? We put them down. We look down on them. God saw them and so loved them. And we try to stay away from them. God sent his son from heaven. Jesus came. The Holy Spirit says, I'll live inside of any one of them. You find the dirtiest person you can find. The Holy Spirit of God can't wait to get inside of them. Wants to be in them. And all I'm saying is we need to see them the way God saw them. God gave his son. He gave his life. He gave his Holy Spirit. We see him, won't give him the time of day. Or we want to give him a piece of our mind. Right? When what we need to give him is the gospel and the goodness of God. We need to lead them to Jesus the way that the way Jesus led them to himself. You know, Jesus fed them. You know, Jesus took care of them. Jesus helped their problems, fixed their issues. It didn't matter if they did it to themselves or they didn't. Jesus went to them and helped them. And all I'm saying is we need to see people the way God sees people. And then I thought about God's vision concerning the picture. And of course, I'm talking about the picture as a whole, the big picture. We get so caught up in our own little world that we failed to see the other 7 billion people that are in this world. Missions is great. I'm glad that we're supporting missionaries. I thank God that I've got a church that's going to support me as I go out to, just in prayer, just praying for me, saying, hey, we're going to pray for you, Brother Dave. That means the world to me. Amen. I'm going all the way across the ocean. I want to know that people are praying for me. Really, it doesn't matter where you go. I put my life at risk when I get in the truck every morning. But all I'm saying is I appreciate those prayers. I appreciate that support. There's a big picture. There's a little picture. And there's nothing wrong with the little picture. As long as we don't lose focus of the big picture while we're looking at the little picture. We don't go soul winning so that we can build this church. We go soul winning so that we can build the church.
There you go.
Will God build this church? Yeah. He said, I will build my church. You know, all we have to do is go. I don't go soul winning for here. I go soul winning for there.
Right.
And if I'm seeking his righteousness and his kingdom first, he said, I'll add all these other things unto you.
It's not about my table. It's about his table.
Yes.
One day I'm going to be sitting there, and I hope to God that it's full. That there wouldn't be an empty seat, but we all know there's going to be plenty of empty seats. There's going to be people that weren't there that we could have invited, that we could have begged, that we could have pleaded, that we could have gone to, that we could have done at least more than what we're doing to get them there. And I'm saying we just need to make sure that we see God's vision concerning the picture. And then last but not least tonight, and I'm going to finish up, and we'll be here for just a second, is God's vision concerning our purpose. Where there is no vision, the people perish. As far as I can see, and as far as I can come to grips with in my mind, with everything I've given as much thought as I can, that is our purpose, is that people won't perish. That's why you're here, Aaron. That's why you're here, Joe. That's why you're here, Brother Adams. That's why you're here, Miss Vicky. That's why we come here, right? We come here to church because in our mind's eyes, we're Christians. And we want to see people saved. We want to see people go to heaven. We want to see people not die and go to hell one day. Is that why you're here? Raise your hand. That's why we're here? Amen. And that's our purpose. You know, you go out and you plant corn, you're not expecting to reap watermelons one day, you know? You plant an orange tree, it's not so that you can have bananas. Right. Whatever you plant, that's what you're planning on getting, right? That's why you did all the work that you do. Why do we put in all the work? Why do we go and come to church 3 times a week? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we pray? Why do we do everything that we do? It's so that the goal should be that we could produce people. So that people would not perish. So that people wouldn't die and go to hell. It would be to keep people from perishing. You know, so often we forget while we're here. We think I'm here for me. I'm here for my family. I'm here for my career. I'm here for a number of different things that we could say that we're here for. But the truth is, we're here so that people won't perish. The reason God put this church here was so that people in Tarboro and people all over the world wouldn't perish. The reason why God put us here individually is so the people around us would not perish. The reason why I'm here tonight and God left me here is so that people won't perish. God doesn't want people to die and go to hell. So tonight, the last thing I want to ask you is, do you have God's vision? What is your vision? Are you looking at things the way God looks at them concerning your priorities? Think in your mind right now, what are my priorities? Is it my job? Is it my family? Is it my friends? What is my priorities? Are they God's priorities concerning my cares and my church and concerning a number of different things? Just go through them. Do you have God's vision concerning prayer? Every one of us can be here that Wednesday. You got plenty of time to mark it out. I pray you will. I'm going to be here. I want to make sure that we're praying for people to get saved. We got Brother Flanders coming. I want to pray that Brother Flanders will come into a revival. Yes. That when he comes here, there'll already be people getting saved. Amen. And he'll just get to have fun with us. Amen. I want to have God's vision concerning prayer. What's your vision concerning prayer? Is it 5 minutes before you leave out to work in a rush? Is it just over your meal? Do we have God's vision concerning prayer? What about our provision? Do we look at what we got and say, well, I can't because that's all I got? Instead of saying, God, you said give and it shall be given. So tell you what, God.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Now it's up to you.
Yep.
Now it's in your hands. You said give, I did it. You said it shall be given. I'm waiting. Pressed down, shaken together into your bosom, it shall be given. Running over, and with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Yes.
We sell ourselves short and we rob ourselves blind. We should put ourselves in jail for what we do to ourselves. Amen. Because God said, I'll give it back to you. And I'll give you so much more than what you gave me. What is our vision concerning our provision? Do we have God's vision concerning that? Do we have God's vision concerning people? Do we see people the way God sees them? Do we look at them and not want anything to do with them? Ain't got time for you? Not now, later? Or do we see them the way God sees them and says, they need me now? This is the best time. You make the biggest difference in someone's life when they're in their worst situation. You know, when they have no, you know, that's when you can make the biggest impact. And so these are just several areas. And again, I just want to challenge us tonight to have God's vision in these areas. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for helping me tonight, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have your vision. Lord, that we would have your vision concerning our priorities. Yes. And Lord, that we would have your vision concerning prayer and the people. Father, our purpose. God, help us to see our purpose tonight. Lord, help us not to ignore it. God, help us not to continue to live. Really, if that's our purpose and that's not what we're doing, Lord, we're really living a purposeless life. Father, help us. Lord, help me. God, all of us were created to bring you glory. And Lord, the way we bring you glory, every time I read the word, it's plain and simple. The way we bring you glory is by bearing fruit. Lord, help us. God, help us to have your vision so that we can see things the way that you see them and so that the people will not perish. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I'm just going to challenge you tonight. I'm going to get on the altar and pray. And I'm going to pray God will help me to have his vision for all these areas. If you feel like the Lord is dealing with your heart in any one of those areas, why don't you come to the altar? Why don't you ask God to help you to get his vision in that area? Maybe it's just one that God highlighted in your heart. Maybe it was several. But ask God to help you in those areas. I'm going to begin to pray now.
A challenge. Thankful for the word of God, and I'm thankful for when it's preached the way that it ought to be preached, and we heard it well tonight. The word of God convicts, and sure did tonight. I need a greater vision. I don't understand everything that God's doing in Brother Dave's life, going to India, but he's going to have his way. It's a great picture of what God's wanting to do, and it is definitely, it's about what God's purpose is in the overall spectrum, and he wants to use this church, and that's our vision needs to be what his plan is, what his purpose is, praise God. I'm thankful. I believe I'm right on with Brother Dave. I feel like this church is really getting a vision. It's just exciting to see everybody. Every time I preach, I see your approval, and I just there were times where I preached the blank faces, but I just feel like I feel like people are on board. It's just mm-hmm. wonderful to see, really is, from the young to the older. I'll tell you, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. That's just amazing. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray for Brother Dave, and I want you to remember Dave Smith, all right? Dave Smith was supposed to be here, but of course, with the tragedy in his family and just all the things that are going on, I have no doubt that it has something to do with that. You know, yeah. Did he contact you to hear from
no,
him?
Okay. He didn't, but I imagine.
Probably.
He didn't say for sure he would be here. He said, I'm going to do my best.
He's going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. So, but let's just remember him. All right. And, just remember that when we pray, we're praying in the spirit. you know, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what that means is spiritually, we're with Brother Dave and David Smith at the same time, spiritually. And our hearts are with them, and let's just pray. Let's pray as the Lord leads, that God will do a work in their lives. And, it's like what he said, it's not about them. God's got a plan. I'm excited to see what God's going to bring back with Brother Dave for this church, to see what God does. Pray for his family while he's away, all right? And that he's going to be gone for 25 days. Pray for Renee, all right? She's going to need it. And just be a support to her. Just, you know, let her know you love her. Send her a text, you know, and just say, I'm praying for you, all right? And just encourage her while he's gone. And I'm thankful for Renee just as much as Brother Dave, because she's willing to let her husband go and do this.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for that. So let's pray for the family, all right? And so I'm not going to waste any more time. We're going to just spend some time with the Lord praying for Brother Dave and David Smith, all right? Father, we do ask that you would direct in this prayer time. We recognize that you're active with us. And by faith, we're going to trust that you are in our midst. And I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the hearts that are in this church.
Yes, Lord,
I believe you're in it, Lord. I believe that you are just doing, there's just a sweet presence, just a mighty hand that you're working. And we just pray that you would just guide and direct as we pray. And go before us to India. And go before David and David Smith. And do as you will, but we pray, Father, that you would just direct as we pray, that we might have certainties, that we might see what God is wanting to do in their lives.
Father, I do thank you for the work that you're doing in this church. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each of us will remain faithful. Lord, as we pray for Brother David Wilson and Brother David Smith, Lord, we just ask you to just give them strength, Lord, to as they travel to India, Lord, to touch the hearts of people, Lord, and hopefully change lives, Lord, and help us a pretty many, Lord, that needs you. Lord, I just pray that you will just be with them as they travel. Lord, I just pray that you have your way.
Father, I just want to take this time to thank you for this church, Lord. This church is an answer to prayer for me. And, Lord, I believe that when I said this morning, Lord, that you just have really worked out everything, Lord. That's nothing short of a miracle. Lord, it's an answer to prayer, like Miss Marianne was talking about tonight with the choir. And, Lord, I truly feel like you have just blessed me beyond all measure to allow me to be here tonight. And, Lord, I want to thank you for their prayers. And, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to go, Lord. It's a privilege. And, Lord, I don't take it lightly. I want to pray for my wife. Lord, while I'm gone, Lord, I want to thank you for her letting me go. And, Lord, I want to pray for the protection for my family. Lord, I pray you'd help my children. God, Lord, I pray that you'd be with them while I'm gone, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that they would see, Father, that, Lord, I'm just trying to give you the preeminence. I'm just trying to love you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help me and David as we go. Lord, I pray for David. Lord, I pray that you just protect us, Father God. Lord, I pray that you get us back safe, lest there be sorrow upon sorrow, Father. I pray that you please would just bless that time we have there. I beg you, Father God, just to use us, Lord, just to let us see souls saved, Father. Let us encourage the brethren, Father. And, Lord, just go before us, please.
Lord, I am claiming 1 John 4, and verse 4. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there are a lot of satanic forces and cults and just many Satan-filled people in India.
Yes.
Many witch doctors,